Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
My sister is a settler today. My cousins were settlers in Gaza before the disengagement. So that's more or less where I come from. I think part of being in high school and kind of like questioning everything you grew up on. So I was questioning religion and I was questioning politics. And I think there's one thing I owe to my Orthodox upbringing, and that's kind of like respect to a text and a desire to read and know more. So I was reading a lot. And after finding my own way in religion, in a way, the next thing was politics. And I was reading a lot of right-wing thinkers and slowly went into the forbidden area of reading some leftists. And I would say I crossed the political borders towards the end of my high school. But I was what I call today an abstract lefty. In a sense, it was all theory, it was all ideas. It had nothing in practice in my life. I just thought that it's not nice that, you know, if we deserve a state, Palestinians don't have a state. Yeah, that's more or less what it was. And slowly, I was exposed more and more. I'm kind of like doing the long story very, very short, jumping on very important stages and stops. But I really want to get to the book. I slowly was exposed more and more to some writings from Martin Luther King to Henri Thoreau to Gandhi and to the refusing movement in Israel. And then I thought, okay, I should refuse to serve in the army. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, we spoke about it, yeah. Oh, so, and that was kind of like between high school and the military, I was this kind of like questioning inside myself, should I join the army, should not? Well, but again, occupation was just a word with letters you put together in the right sequence. It didn't really mean anything. But I was convinced that it's important that people like me will go to serve because we do things differently. because we are against the occupation and we're going to end up serving there and we'll act differently. And I enlisted. I served in the IDF from March 2001 till March 2004. And throughout all my service, I was kind of like, there was these ups and downs. I should refuse, no. I should refuse, no. I ended up going to be a sergeant in order to change from inside. So it's kind of like all my service, I had these ups and downs of throughout all my service, I didn't agree with what I did. I had doubts and questions all my service, but the question was, how far should I go? I just lived in complete schizophrenia throughout my service. You know, every Friday I would go out back home, I would stand with Women in Black. Saturday night, stand with Peace Now against the occupation, and then go in Sunday, wear the uniform, and do the occupation. I would leak materials out, testify to human rights organizations, testify to media, send my soldiers as a sergeant in military vehicles to panel discussions about refusal. But the next morning we come back, we put uniform and stand in a check. Yeah, it was insane. This life of 2.5 years of completely disagreeing with everything you do, but ending up doing it at all. And I think breaking the silence for me was, it was towards the end of my service when, you know, throughout my service, I complain about settlers. I went and found complaints of the police and human rights organizations. I've complained about other units. I saw the wrong behavior of everyone. And it was only towards the end of my service that I realized that this crazy life that I've lived of complaining about everyone, of taking part in the protests, of leaking stuff out, that was in a way my own silence. Yeah. That was what allowed me to continue and do what I did. And once I understood and realized what I did, I felt I need to do something about it. Yeah, this was, and I started talking with my comrades about it. And I was I very fast discovered that we all felt the same. Somewhere in the back of our mind, we all felt that something was wrong. And that's how Breaking the Silence came together. We started talking about things we've done and seen. And every time I say it today, I feel more and more naive. But we were really shocked by our own discovery that people back home in Israel have no clue of what we've done. So we wanted to bring Hebron to Tel Aviv. That was the slogan. Yeah, I served 2 years of my time, of my 3 years in the military, I served in the occupied territories in the West Bank, and out of these 2 years, I did a year and 2 months in Hebron. So I must say it's not the worst place I served in. Yeah, I served in the big operations of 2002 in Ramallah, Nablus, and other areas. Yeah, that was the peak of the violence of the Second Intifada. But in Hebron, we were there for 14 months, so we could actually tell a story about the place. So I got out of the military in March 2004, and on June 1st, 2004, we opened a photo exhibit in Tel Aviv. Our photos on the walls, our video testimonies, our faces on the screen. No big plans of what to do, where it's going from there. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And once we opened the exhibit, we found ourselves very, very quick in the middle of a huge mess. We became the story of the country for the week. All over the news, over 7,000 people came to visit the gallery.
What year was this?
2004. We were even invited to show our exhibit in the Israeli parliament the next month, yeah? Mm-hmm. Probably in the parliament of today it would never have happened, but 2004 was a different political reality in that sense. And in a way, it was the response of people and the impact that what we had to say had, together with the fact that we met other veterans who served in other units in other areas in the occupied territories, that had the same story, and the same photos, the same testimonies, that brought us to continue on with Breaking the Silence and called in a meeting and decided to go on with it. And here we are, 8.5 years after. Basically, what we do, very, very brief. The heart of our activity is documenting testimonies. In a way, that's the fuel we run on. So we video audiotape soldiers and ex-soldiers about their experience in the occupied territories. Until today, we've interviewed over 850 people, men and women, all of whom served as conscripts from the beginning of the Second Intifada to today. So basically, we're talking about my generation. Yeah, people more or less my age. I'm 29 years old. People are 20, 21 to 30, 31. How old can you be if you join the draft around the age of 18, around 2000? Make the math, doesn't add to too much. and these testimonies, we cross-check, verify, and publish them in different ways, and this book is just one of them. And the second thing we do is we try to use our personal experience and the testimonies we gather as an educational tool, an advocacy tool, to do a lot of tours to the West Bank, lectures, and other things that we do in Israel. Vast majority of our work is done in Israel, towards Israelis. Yeah, so that's what we perceive as the most important mission or thing that we can do as an Israeli veteran group.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.